Export demand for grains helped push prices to the upside. And export demand for pork, well, it helped support lean hog futures for a little while. And then some mainstream media started running news items questioning whether it was smart to be exporting pork right now, especially to China, when there are shortages in the meat cases in America, and futures fell to the downside.
Live from the very brink of insanity, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we're pleased to welcome Mr. Tommy Grassoffi from Advanced Trading. And right after the news, how much is that blue line in the window? Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures updates us. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Here, boy. Come on now. Come on.
Who's a good boy? Who's getting
a
the package?
Good boy, Oliver.
Who's getting the package? Who ordered something from Amazon?
Oh, man. You know he's not listening yet.
I know. It's a shame, too. We love you, Oliver.
Yes, we love you. Yes, we do. So, I don't hear, once again, there is a disconnect happening between how items should be reported and how they are being reported in some mainstream media. Okay. Fox Business today has highlighted the fact that there were export sales of pork reported this morning in the weekly export sales report.
Sure.
And there was China buying 40,000 metric tons of U.S. pork. Okay.
Wow.
And then, of course, the question is, should we really be doing that? Should we be selling pork to China right now when we've got shortages here? And these sales are for future delivery and will happen. And the delivery will only happen after we've gotten the bottleneck removed from the pork industry, which, of course, is the slaughterhouses.
Now, wait
a second.
That's
the only way that's going to happen.
I think what you're implying, sir, is that the mainstream media may not really have a very good grasp on how farming works, how agricultural exports work. Is this what you're saying?
You've heard me say a couple of times that I am really, really impressed with how they are explaining the disruption to the supply chain. In some cases, not all cases. Mm-hmm. I'm also very disappointed with how the supply chain disruptions have been explained in some cases as well. But it's a split decision. It's a split decision on some of the coverage right now. But you know what? For the most part, the disruption is being handled pretty well. The coverage on the pork exports today, not so much. Okay. Yeah. We've got Oliver coming up here real quick. And so let's go ahead and get to what was moving prices around.
Well, Chip, export sales of wheat in the weekend at April 30 totaled just over 380,000 metric tons, with 245,000 for shipment this year and 135,000 metric tons for delivery in the new crop marketing year. Both tallies lined up with pre-report trade expectations. Strength in the wheat market today was limited by Statistics Canada. Statistics Canada's estimate that producers there will see, you try and say it, will see 25.472 million acres to spring wheat in Canada this year. July hard red winter wheat 1¼ cents higher, 4.78¾. July soft red firmed a nickel to 5.22½. July spring wheat gained 4 cents, 5.11¾. Chip.
Yeah, and a lot of the focus right now is on the export demand. And while it wasn't disappointing, it wasn't enough to really support that market too much today. I think it got spillover from corn and soybeans.
Well, corn export sales in the weekend at April 30 totaled 872,000 metric tons, with 775,000 for delivery in the current marketing year and 97,000 for delivery in the 2020-21 marketing year. USDA this morning also announced the sale of 686,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to China. Of that total, 371,000 for delivery in 1920 and 315,000 for delivery in the next marketing year. Early session strength in crude oil futures also helped the corn market push to the upside. May corn futures were forward 0.25 cents higher, 3.16. July corn gained 3¾ cents to 3.18. Dece corn closed at 3.34, up 2¾ cents. Chip.
Yeah, really a good number on the corn sales in the week, and then that number of that 686,000 sold to China.
Yeah.
It That gets out of the range of Goodwill purchases. They're restocking their state-owned reserves.
Old crop soybean export sales of 653,000 and new crop sales of 177,000 metric tons both lined up with trade targets. The announcement of a corn sale to China this morning raised more speculation that China will continue to buy U.S. soybeans to fill state-owned reserves. The rally in soybean oil futures also helped to support bean prices today. May bean futures 11 cents higher, 841.5. July jumped 11 and 3 quarters to 844 and a quarter. November bean futures closed at 848 and a quarter, up 9 cents on the day, Chip.
Yep, yesterday we were just right on the edge of starting to turn some of the technicals much more negative in that bean market, and today we get some nice double-digit gains.
Heavyweight choice graded boxes jumped another $7.50 to trade at nearly $457 per hundredweight. Also supporting the limit up move in live cattle futures was word that cattle slaughter so far this week is up 6% from week ago. Chip, that's signaling some additional room in the bottleneck at processing. June live cattle were $4.50 higher, 93.97.5. August cattle closed limit up 99.95, and May feeders were up $6.17.5 to 130.27.5. And quickly on the snout side, pork export sales of 47,500 metric tons of pork in the weekend at April 30 helped support prices early in the session, but ongoing concerns about slaughterhouse slowdowns pulled prices lower for the close. June lean hogs $1.67.5 lower, 63.90. July hogs off 30 cents, 63.50. Chip,
you want to call in? Do you want to do it?
Oliver, how much is that analyst in the window? Hello?
Come on, Oliver.
Hello.
Come on.
Hello. Hey.
Hey. Oh my gosh!
The dang delivery guy didn't even buzz the door; just left it on the stoop, so I didn't even get to have any human interaction.
That's disappointing. Disappointing.
And then
Oliver
he lands in our lap. The poor guy.
Oliver says after 2 months of isolation and having the windows open and watching for the delivery guy, he's starting to identify as a dog. Love it. Oliver, cattle slaughter this week so far up 6% from week ago. We've also got some gains in hog slaughter from week ago. Is that a sign that we're looking for, that maybe we're starting to see some of the pressure relieved?
Yeah, it's certainly good news. Cash obviously picked up a little bit in a wide range, but mostly picked up, which is good to see. We saw Sonny Perdue come out and say that plants could be up and running in a week to 10 days. I don't think that that's realistic, but I think, you know, putting all these things together, it's certainly a push in the right direction. And a few weeks ago, we talked about the futures market doing its job and pricing in a lot of the negative news in advance. We also said that, you know, the market is forward-looking and trying to price in good news. So I think we are turning a corner, and although we don't have all the good news in front of us, I think the market is starting to price in some of these good things. On the technical basis, too, on the live cattle chart, you've got nice inverse head and shoulders forming, which is very friendly. Funds position, I mean, heck, they've been basically flat in that short for an extended period of time, which is highly unlikely. A neutral position for the funds is generally around 40,000 to 50,000 contracts. So they've got some powder to add here. And if we do get that good news, I wouldn't be surprised to see them get in the market a little bit more aggressively here.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Pat yourself on the head, Oliver. And we'll talk to you again next week.
See ya.
All right, that is Oliver Sloat, Blue Line Futures. Coming up, we got Tommy Gersloppy, Advanced Trading, here on AgriTalk. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
All day.
All day long, baby. That's what we do.
10 and 2. 10-2. That's when we're coming at you live on the radio.
Keep her out of the rhubarb.
And, of course, you can hear it on the app or on the site anytime you want. Just go to your favorite app store and download the AgriTalk app. And then you can listen anytime you want. All right, let's bring him on. Tommy Grisafi, Advanced Trading, joins us right now. Tommy, it is good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chip. I'm locked up in my basement, the old trading room. So not as much trading anymore, but a lot more brokering. Still some great opportunities in markets. Just you got to be able to stay up all night and be stressed out, right? So
yeah. So how has it changed the way that you're communicating with clients? Because I know that you're one of those guys that likes to get out there and meet with them on a regular basis, face to face. But doing it this way has got to be a little bit more challenging, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really strange to go travel, and then one day be home for a week, a month, 2 months. I'm enjoying my family. I have a wonderful wife and kids. My parents were living with us in the interim. They just bought a house, and so it's we call it the crazy house. I call when my mom and dad wake up. I say, "Good morning, inmates. How you doing?" And but I think I'll look back. And I hope the kids look back of it fondly, and I'll never get to spend this much time with my girls again. And as you know, your little girl grows up, and they have little girls, and life goes on. So I'm taking advantage of it and still doing my job, and I have a wonderful home office. I always have, and I work with my wife, Gina. She works at Advanced Trading. So it was strange, but now I'm going to miss it, to be honest with you, Chip. I'm going to have a hard time traveling again.
I gotcha. Yeah, and I understand what you're saying there. You know, and Tommy, I think when we talk about consumers in general, I think they're experiencing a lot of the same feelings that you are experiencing in that, you know, hey, yeah, it was kind of forced on me at first, and I didn't know if I was going to like it or not. But, A, I do enjoy being around the home and around my family more, and B, I'm finding that I can be more productive, more efficient with my time if I do work from home. Some of this is going to carry over into the post-crisis period, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Just Advanced Trading, personally, I think we have four brokers who had offices, one in Iowa, one in Minnesota, one in Illinois, and they just all called the corporate office. They said, you know what, I'm not signing my lease anymore. I'm just going to work at home. This is all right. I'm used to it. Thanks for sending me a new laptop and two screens, and I'm good with it. I upgraded my internet. And so that's just our little company. How many other people? I ordered a new laptop and a new trading computer, and the trading computer company out in Wyoming, I give them a shout out. They're called TradingComputers.com, family-owned business out there. They said they haven't been this busy since the dot-com bust. So
really?
They said it's going to be 3 weeks for, one, they're having a little bit of hard time getting parts just because all the stuff comes from overseas. And they said this is the craziest thing they've ever seen. They've never sold so many laptops and desktops and people wanting high-quality computers with multiple monitors, really, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think it's being reflected in the technology stocks. The NASDAQ today up 100 and, what, almost 125 points. I mean, Wall Street has taken notice of this switch.
So they always talk on the business channel about the FANG stocks, and that's called Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. And there's a couple others you could throw in there, too. But I want to say they said the other day that the FANG stocks economy is bigger than the Japanese economy. I better fact check that. But that was just a staggering statistic that five American companies do more business than the whole Japanese economy. Let me fact check that one. But that you start talking big numbers like that. These aren't billion-dollar companies. These are companies that are worth over $1 trillion. And so they just have money on top of money on top of money. And then who would have thought that a pandemic, how much it's helping all these companies? It just played right into them. I see on my TV, I'm watching TV, Peloton, that bicycle, their stock's exploding today. So you want to be long Peloton, but you want to be short Gold's Gym, right? Because they filed bankruptcy the other day. So the physicalness, Chip, you and I talked about this off the air, the physicalness of anything, a physical cow, hog, health club, flying on a plane, What else is physical? Going on a cruise ship, renting an Airbnb. Airbnb let
going
go of
to a
25%
movie.
Of their staff. Going to a movie? Yeah, I go to a movie every night. It's called my couch.
Yeah, yeah.
I go to a bar, too, every night. That's called my refrigerator.
Yeah. Well, and the liquor sales are showing up there as well. That's just another fact. So we're watching what's happening with the equities, and then we go to Main Street, and we have to start talking about when we do get to the other side of this crisis, some of those small businesses that we've relied on, I'm not going to say take, that we've relied on over the years, some of those businesses aren't going to be there anymore, Tommy.
Yeah, I don't know if you speak for him. I think you do. Do you speak for our friend Rich Tiller at Ag Speakers Network?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Yep. How's that business going? Someone who helps you
zero.
And organizes you to speak out in public. It's non-existent, right? I mean, I got to give Rich a call and say, how are you doing? I know he's not doing well. I mean, he has hundreds of ag speakers who are doing nothing.
Right.
When are they going to get back out on the show? How's a photographer doing? You need a picture taken? Take your iPhone. Go stand by that tree. Here, this is your senior picture. So little businesses like that in town, the photographers, you know what? In the little subdivision I live in, there's a place that has weddings. It's the place where you can have up to 300 people at a wedding. They're not having any weddings. They haven't for 2 months, and I don't know if they will for another 2 months. Chip, I don't know how people can come back from this financially, and I don't know if you got invited to a wedding that you knew there's going to be 400 people if you'd go or if you'd just send a gift.
Right, right, yeah. Well, one of the weddings was that we were supposed to go to this year, and I missed out on it, was in early April, and they just decided that, okay, we're just going to go ahead and move the reception to the end of June, and everything should be okay then. Well, will it? I'm not sure what's going to be allowed in the state of Iowa by the time we get to the end of June. And Iowa is moving so much, is one of the leaders in reopening for business that of the states out here. So this is going to last a while, isn't it, Tommy?
I think so. I'm still committed to traveling and working. I just recently made some changes, rented new apartment stuff, and I'm committed to expanding the business, but you just have to be smarter. I checked the other day to fly to Fargo, Chip. There's no flights available. Right. So I can travel to Fargo. I just have to drive. Well, that takes a day, and it takes a day to come home. So the old days of working till 3 o'clock, running over to Fargo Airport, and having Gina pick me up at O'Hare 2 hours later, I don't know when we get back to that. So I have to plan my time so much more efficient.
Yeah.
And at some point, this PPP money is going to run out for some businesses, and it's making people feel better, and it's real. It's really putting big money in the economy, but what happens when they reopen and people don't show up? That's what I'm scared for.
Right, right. That's why keeping a close eye on what is happening in Georgia, in Texas, in Iowa, the states that are moving toward reopening, we're all canaries in a coal mine right now. If all of a sudden, Tommy, the virus flares back up in these early openings, then it's mission critical at that point. We're going to shut things back down, and those that are locked up, like Illinois and New York, are going to lock up for that much longer. So we got to do it right.
Right, and at some point there's a cost. So a friend of mine threw a number: for every life we're saving, maybe it's costing the American economy close to $100 million. Mm. I mean, you throw out a number like that, what's a life worth? Those are no decisions I want to make. But at some point, when they don't have a vaccine yet, you say, well, are we just permanently shut down, or are we just protecting our elderly people? I know my folks got invited somewhere for Mother's Day, and they said, no, we're not going anywhere. We haven't went anywhere for months. Why would we change now? There's no cure for this. They're 79 years old, Chip. So we really need to protect our elderly, and we need to put our young people to work. And if you're stuck somewhere in the middle there with a medical condition, you should be scared.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So that was a great conversation to follow up. to what we talked about this morning on AgriTalk, because we did talk a lot about the challenges that the COVID crisis has created for the ag economy. We talked about what it might look like, when it might start to happen as we come out the other side. Okay. That helped us wrap up those conversations. When we come back, I want to talk more specifically about what's going on in this grain trade, any strategies that we need to be thinking about for risk management. We're talking with Tommy Grisafi from Advanced Trading on AgriTalk. It's time for Pro Farmers Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. U.S.-China trade officials to meet next week on phase one. Trump promises an update next week. He also says he should have a better idea on whether China is following through on phase one in a week or two. ICAC paints a grim picture for the cotton outlook. The International Cotton Advisory Committee is calling for a big jump in global cotton ending stocks. Global food prices on the decline. Global food prices fell 3.4% from March to April. States are forging ahead with reopening, the guidelines aside. Germany is providing some details on the final reopening plans. Trump instructs the DOJ to look into whether meat packers broke antitrust laws. Check out all that ProFarmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
And welcome back. Glad that you could join us today. Hey, you know what? I do want to share a tweet before we get to a recap here and get back to the conversation with Tommy. It comes all from at Justin Faster, and it's a good update. It sounds like he was traveling on I-90 up in southwest Minnesota. Says lots more cars in the parking lot of JBS in Worthington, Minnesota today, and even some pots rolling in and out. So great. Some pot bellies hauling hogs in and out of JBS. Up there in Worthington. Okay, before we get back to Tommy, go ahead and recap how we closed.
Well, Chip, July hard red winter wheat was 1 1/4 cents higher, 4.78¾. July soft red firmed a nickel to 5.22½. May corn futures were 4 1/4 cents higher at 3.16. December corn closed at 3.34. That's up 2 3/4 cents. May soybean futures were 11 cents higher today at 8.41½. Novi bean futures closed at 8.48¼, up 9 today. June live cattle, $4.50 higher, 93.97½. And May feeders were up $6.17½ to 130.27½. And June lean hogs, $1.67½ lower, 63.90. And Chip, just real quick, as proof that AgriTalk attracts the smartest, most correct guests on any radio program you're ever going to find. We were talking about the FANG earlier. This according to topforeignstocks.com. FANG is an acronym: Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. Those five alone have a combined market cap of $3 trillion. That's greater than the UK's annual GDP. Jeez. If you then add in another U.S. tech giant, Microsoft, and FANG's equivalents in China, then those eight behemoths together are valued at more than the GDP of the world's third largest economy, Japan. So great is the worth of just the three largest FANGs that if they were countries, each would be eligible for membership in the G20. A club of the world's richest nations. This from topforeignstocks.com. Tommy, you were right, baby. Nice. Nicely done.
Thank you, Davis. I don't hear that a lot here at home, but thank you. I had to call you guys to hear that.
Happy to do it.
Happy to do it. Yep. Okay, man. Let's talk cash corn, Tommy. How much old crop is still out there?
I'd say a lot. And by the amount of panic calls of people who I've never met, but they've heard us from your show or other shows or network affiliates in North Dakota, so many people are caught in these basis contracts, Chip. Personally, I'm not a big fan of the basis contracts, and I understand why they do it. I understand why it works out for the farmer. I understand why it works out for the elevator. It's not a trap or a trick, but it gives the farmer everything they want. Gives the elevator everything they want, but it puts the farmer long futures. Normally, When we have a bad big down market, the basis improves. So you lock the basis, you give your grain to the elevator, you lose control of your product, and you say, I'm going to price it later. That works okay unless we have a pandemic or unless the Saudis decide over a weekend that crude oil is now worth 30% less. And that's what's happened. And so when guys like me who are boring say your risk is the market goes down and you go, but corn's already went down, I go, I know, but your risk is that it goes down. And that's why we'll probably in a little bit talk about that Dease $3 put or even the craziness that happened a few days ago in the Dease 250 put. Just some wild stuff going on here.
I'll make a note of that to come back to it. So you still got this downside risk, but I'll ask it. I mean, I'm willing. And how much more downside risk is there in the markets after what we've gone through? When you look at it fundamentally, technically, every Monday afternoon we have Kerry Artak on from Artak Advisory. He takes a look at the long-term charts, and for the last several weeks, he's been pointing out that the front-month contract has got risk to the bottom of a long-term channel, which would take us down to 222. I mean, you got to at least respect that there's significant downside risk.
Yeah, and you know what, too? I've also had chip farmers call me and say there's no way this market can rally. And I'll let you in on a little secret, and your listeners in on a secret. You know what I'm going to say? You're already giggling. Anytime you can get 10 farmers to agree the market can't rally, you might want to buy some of that. So, you know, if you're selling old crop, you might want some calls. If you might want some upside. So I understand why people want to sell, and nobody ever wants to sell below their cost of production. But I've had several farmers call me and say, I just don't see how this could rally. I said, hold on, cool your jets. There's these things called droughts. There's these things that the government can do where they could buy the corn. I mean, think about what America is. I wrote this down. America is an amazing place. We pay producers to overproduce so much corn. We pay producers to overproduce a corn so foreign countries can come in and buy it for less than they could produce it themselves. That's a pretty amazing statistic. So as we keep going down, you see these big sales happen. Well, sure, if I know that steak costs, $10, $12 a pound and you go, hi, it's Chip's Barbecue, filets are $5 a pound, I'm going to your restaurant, right? That's what America does. We pay farmers to overproduce, and then they go plant 97 million acres, and then they end up with a shocked face like, I don't understand how we got here. It's going to happen again this year. Could it be that obvious? It seems so obvious that we're going to have too much corn this year, and that's usually not how it ends up. We had too much corn. I think you entered the business. Were you in the business in the drought of 87?
88.
88.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Didn't we have like 4 billion bushels of corn, and there's no way we could rally? And we rallied $1.50. So I'm not saying we're having a drought.
Our stocks to use coming out of 85, 86, I looked at this number just the other day, Tommy. Our stocks to use coming out of 85, 86 was like 36, 37% on corn. And now we look at it and say, oh, geez, we're at 16%. There's no way we can rally.
Well, we can do a lot of things. I'm sure 2 weeks ago there was brokers calling people saying, why don't we buy some crude? It can only go to zero. They had to call them back and say they messed up. We went to negative 40, right? So stuff happens. There's the crude doing that changed the value of what options are valued at.
Yeah.
And I can pretty much guarantee corn's not going to zero or negative because farmers will do what they do. They will store it. They don't have to bring all their corn to Cushing's, Oklahoma for delivery.
Right.
So there's a value, and let's throw out the LDP number. That's probably what would get her done, right? So you threw out that technical level on the charts of 230, cash market at $2, that's LDP. That seems to stop almost every market ever. That is the natural floor, which would be phenomenal for exports, phenomenal for the pig guy, phenomenal for the cattle guy. We've seen some positive news this week come in ethanol. Bids are starting to show up. People are starting to drive, and so the world never quite ends. It just felt like it for 2 months, which was 2 months too long. America's going to come back, and there's going to be some great things that come out of this. Where I feel horrible, Chip, is some people aren't coming back from this. Some people are listening right now to your show who produce hogs, cattle, maybe service those industries who got knocked out. Dairy. I mean, they get knocked out so much, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Who would ever plan for school kids not to go back to school for 2-3 months when I heard a third of our milk goes to the schools? So no one can handle a hit like that, Chip. Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay, you mentioned some goofiness in $3 D's puts and $2.50 D's puts. What happened?
Well, BJ Split and I were flying out to do Tyne Show, and we were flying back from Kansas. And I said, BJ, or he said to me, or I said to him, I'll give him the credit. He said, do you know you could buy a D's $3 put for 7/8 of a penny? I said, why the heck will we do that? And he goes, let's just do it for, you know, just do it. So we talked all types of craziness, buying a $3 put, selling a $6 call. Just any way you can get paid to do it. I said, this is stupid. I'm not doing it. And so then all of a sudden it went 2 cent bid, 3 cent bid. But on, I wrote it down, March 11th, you could have bought a D's, the D's $3 puts range this year is a half penny. Now you got to understand, Chip, and the listeners, you could have only lost a half penny per contract.
Right.
That's $25. I'm not suggesting 2 months ago to any of my clients to pay a half cent for anything. We don't buy junk here. That's the pawn store you could do that at. But for a speculator, for someone who says, I'll buy 1,000 of those, for a cowboy who says, I think corn could go to 250. Yeah. Well, it's a lotto ticket, Chip. The D's $3 put went from half cent to 13 cents. So the very thing we laughed about, now when someone calls me and says, I need a floor, I only want to spend a dime, I go, well, that's called a D's $3 put. But the other day, what was really interesting, I was watching the D's 250 puts. I called Brian again. I go, hey, We had a lottery ticket in our hand and we ripped it up. We showed them, why don't we do the D's 250 puts? And those were trading about a penny and a half. Mm-hmm. A D's 250 put was trading 1/8 of a penny. I can't even figure what that is. Almost free. It went up to 2 3/8. Here's the scary part. The other day, someone bought 6,000 of those. I don't know who, but every 200 is a million bushels, right? Every 1,000 is 5 million bushels. 5,000 traded, 25 million bushels. So when you talk about your technical level, hey, for 2 cents, you can get short from 250 to infinite, and it could happen. If we went down to 220, you'll have me on in a few months and go, did you buy any of those? And I'll go, no, I bought a new laptop instead. I don't know what I was thinking.
And a new trading computer. $6.25 is what that 1/8 of a cent put option would cost you.
You can't pay high commission when you do that, right? So this isn't recommended. These are professional traders. These are guys at the board. Well, think of the clown. I was going to say a swear word. Think of the clown who sells that. Think of some clown sold this D's $3 put for a penny. It's now 12 cents against them. So you could have bought it for a penny. Someone sold that. They could have never made more than a penny. And it can go a lot more against them. So when crude oil, Chip, went from $17 to -40, I think professional traders start saying, let's just buy downside protection on everything. What's going on here? They probably don't understand how physical grains trade and delivery process and everything.
Interesting.
Crazier stuff has happened.
Just buy downside on everything. Okay, making my final notes, buy downside on everything. Okay, man. Hey, we are out of time. Tommy, thank you so much.
Appreciate all
of your insights and just your calm demeanor through all of this. I appreciate it a lot.
Good work, Tommy. A friend of mine, I had him sign a copy of a book called The History of the United States and 5 Crashes, and I'm sending you guys a copy signed from
him. Excellent. Thanks,
Tommy.
Buddy.
Find it now.
That's some early Justin right there, Davis.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That one might have been written at your cabin. Is that possible?
Yeah, that's kind of when we were hanging out doing some shows together. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's very cool.
You know, you are you are as much taller than him as I am taller than you. The three of us should all get together.
Listen.
Stand in a row.
6 foot versus 6'1".
And a half.
Does not equal 6 foot versus, I don't know, like 5'6"?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I always thought, you know, maybe guys like us are just too tall to be of any sort of renown, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
Prince
you're
was
saying
like 5
that.
Foot two
you're,
or something.
You're saying that while producer Big Apple Joe Stackler is is mm-hmm. is hanging out saying, yeah, he's looking down at the top of our heads. okay, so Tommy said we had a lottery ticket in our hand and we tore it up.
Tore it up.
Yeah. How big of a tear up or how big of a lottery ticket was it? So he was talking about the $3 December put option for corn.
Okay.
When they started looking at it, it was trading at a half cent. Why don't we just go buy some of those, you know? Well, every penny on a 5,000 bushel contract, every penny's 50 bucks. So at a half a cent, it would have cost them 25 bucks to get into a long position. And that's the most you could lose on that mm-hmm. long position. Mm-hmm. Which seems, you know, 25 bucks. Heck, I can lose 25 bucks.
Sure. I've
done that before. But you do it 1,000 times, and I really don't want to lose $25,000.
No.
But the $25 investment per put option, if somebody did that 1,000 times, mm-hmm. what they did was they saw their investment go from $25,000 to $625,000. They made $625,000 on it.
Wow.
Yeah. So... that's a big move.
Nice work if you can get it.
Exactly. And not only that, but in a lot of cases, that 13 and a half cents that it got to, the Deese $3 put, there were people that were willing to pay that to provide downside price protection for the crop that they've got in the bin.
Right.
So
right.
Think about that. So it's not like you were going to have any trouble getting out of that long position. Mm-hmm. There was going to be somebody there willing to buy it. So one other thing that he said that I want to make sure that everybody understands exactly what he meant by it. He was talking about the basis contract and how the basis contract, everybody, because basis was as strong as it was, everybody mm-hmm. was looking to capture the basis, but they didn't want to set the price because there we were chugging along in the, just call it the 350 range. And there was still hope that maybe we would see a $4 print or whatever the number is. So to capture the basis, they wrote basis contracts. So you get about, you know, 80% of the value up front. You get the corn out of your bin. You can move it to the elevator, to the buyer. You get about 80% of it, and then you set the price later. But what Tommy said was the reason I don't like it is because it makes the farmer long a futures contract.
Okay.
Essentially, it makes a farmer long a futures contract. Like when you get into a minimum price contract, you are long a call option.
Okay.
There is a call option out there with your name on it. Now, if it's done through the elevator is going to manage that risk for you. Okay. If you do it through a broker, then it's yours on a minimum price contract. And that's just to sell and replace with a call option. But with a basis contract, there's no actual futures position or option position.
Right.
It's just that your value, the value of that bushel of corn that is sitting in the bin no longer has basis risk, only has price risk.
Okay.
Therefore, for every penny that moves in futures, it changes the value of the physical commodity in the bin. So every penny up, you make another 50 bucks. Every penny down, you're out another 50 bucks on every 5,000 bushels. Okay.
Well,
does that make sense? But it's not like all of a sudden when you decide, okay, we're going to lock the price in on this basis contract, like you got to go out and sell a futures contract because you were long. No, it's just that the price, therefore, is then determined by the value of that futures contract. Okay?
All right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Good. National Weather Service, 6-10-day outlook. This is for May 13th through the 17th. We've got below normal temperatures expected across the entire Corn Belt. I'm going to call it the entire Corn Belt. You don't get into the above normal temperatures until you get down into Texas, Louisiana, southern Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, down into that area. But you've got below normal temperatures expected right through the 17th of May. throughout the Corn Belt, and the moisture is moving back in. Above normal precipitation expected in most of the Corn Belt. You've got Minnesota, North Dakota, parts of Wisconsin are looking at normal precipitation for that May 13 to 17 time period. Jump out to the 8 to 14 day. We're looking at mostly normal temperatures. Got some above normal temperatures getting into the eastern, far eastern Corn Belt. But we're looking at mostly normal temperatures in the Corn Belt for May 15 through the 21st and above normal precipitation.
Chip, I need this in plain English. I've just got my garden tilled, doing some yard farming. I've got some starter plants, some pepper plants, tomatoes, you name it. I'm ready to put those puppies in the ground, but we're looking like freeze for our area this weekend.
Yep. Right.
What day should I be targeting so I can set up my schedule? When can I get these plants in the ground safely?
I would be looking at sometime the end of next week.
End of next week?
Yeah, just be safe.
The wife's not going to like that.
Why would you put a chill stunt on those plants? And they're kind of vulnerable.
They're kind of vulnerable.
And there are people from Michigan, from Nebraska, from I don't know where else that are saying, you got pepper plants? How'd you get pepper plants?
We got them. We got them, baby.
I love it.
They want dirt.
All right. Hey, for Davis and for producer Joe Stackler, thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow morning, free for all, Wiesmeyer, Johnson, Haney. Tomorrow afternoon, Jared Krieg, JC Marketing on AgriTalk.